Good to be here this morning, finally. And for some reason, we keep taking the scenic route to get here, and I don't know why. We got a device on the windshield of the car that belongs to Brother Joe. And I love them police officers he's talking about. Highway Patrol got us back here. And Brother Buster, all I heard on the way, well, after I got here in the parking lot, was how wonderful Brother Buster was. So, Brother Buster, if you would, please don't leave Brother Joe this afternoon. I want him riding with you. And John chapter 15, I want to look at a verse, and I don't know why it seemed quite unusual right here, but I was thinking, I don't never know why in meetings like this, a lot of pastors shows up. And I know where there's pastors, there's battles, there's storms. And seems a bit unusual, to be honest with you. But I don't know, Brother John, maybe somebody's going through something and might be a help to them. And I know you helped me down there at Brother Mike's 2 years ago on fighting them battles. I ain't forgot it. And the Bible says in chapter 15 of the book of John, verse number 18, said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I want to read it just one more time because sometimes it's hard for us to really imagine why the world would hate Jesus. But it's Him speaking. It's His statement. And it's truth. He said, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Father, I pray you touch my lips, God. Oh, Lord, I need you so bad. Lord, I hate to God have to stand up and think of the thought, Lord, that you'd walk off and leave me. God, to do this on my own, God, but for just a little while. I pray that you'd touch my lips, and I pray, God, that you'd use me. I pray, God, it'd be real to me this morning. And God, if it'll be real to me, God, I know it'll be real to these folk. God, help each one of us. Bless this church, God, these workers, these members. God, everyone that's attended today, last night, and the rest of the week. Breathe on us, and God, let us just get close to you this week. Prepare our hearts for what's ahead. I'm asking you in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Back over in John chapter number 8. As we've looked at this here, I know the world does hate the Lord, and to be honest with you, it's probably the same way up around Murrayville as it is in St. Mary's, Georgia. Sometimes it gets kind of hard to stop somebody and give them maybe an invitation or just talk to them about the Lord. Maybe just try to win them to Christ. And some folk, they'll be cordial and a little different in the South than it is in the North. In the North, they'll just bluntly tell you they're not interested. And they'll walk away. But in the South, they will listen. And they'll look interested, but they might just do that to pacify you and then walk away and hope that you'll do the same thing. And as I was looking at this text and I was thinking about how they did treat the Lord, I looked at some things back over in John chapter 8. The Lord was meeting with some people here that was, they was really there not to encourage Him or to thank Him. They was there to accuse Him and to call Him names and to ridicule Him. And I thought, Lord, that's just like folk lives right beside our church. I mean, there were some people there that they brought up things about his past. They wasn't talking to the neighbors about this. They was talking to him about this. And so as I look at that, I found some verses that bring some things out, but also found some people that don't care what others think. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? I got to look at this thing in John chapter number 8 and verse number 19, they asked him, they said, where is thy father? And of course he gave them a good answer and he said, you know me. nor you know, you neither know me nor my Father. So it really don't matter where his Father is to them. He asked them down in verse number 25. He says, "Who art thou?" In verse number 25, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou?" Jesus said unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." And so they put him through a real test. They're asking him question after question. And they're really just laying things out there that you would think, man, if that was me, that'd make me so mad. I mean, if I had the power Jesus had, I'd give them all lockjaw. Amen. Amen. I'd give them the St. Vitus itch. Amen. I'd have made them feel like they was on fire and want to go jump in a lake. I mean, something to get them out of my face. Just get rid of them and get rid of these 99 questions. If you look down in verse number, back up in verse number 22, they accused him of being suicidal. They said, then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself?" I mean, they're just throwing things out there. They're like, how many's ever heard about a man that might be drowning? How they're just grabbing for anything that floats by. They're looking for something just to hang on to. And so that's what they're doing right here. They're in a real pickle, if you will, because they got the King of Glory, the Creator, standing there, and they really don't know what kind of questions to ask him. It's like, have you ever got around some of this crowd that they'll get some new convert that just got saved, that's on fire for God, and they're maybe they don't know nothing to sing except "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me," and they'll just give them the 99 question series and try to get them confused and say, "Hey, had a young girl ask me Sunday, Brother Lee, she come up to me Sunday night, and boy, we had a great day. I mean, God met with us and blessed us, Brother Mark. It's still on down there, brother. I'm telling you, God's still moving and God's still saving. Had four got saved Sunday morning, another one got saved Sunday night, and God's helping us and meeting with us down there. And this young girl come up to me and she says, why is it you believe what you believe?" I said, "I can't help it." I said, "He moved on the inside." I said, "I believed it when I heard the old story. I said, it just got real. Something got to pounding in here. It stirred my soul. I said, I got to looking at the book and things got to lining up. I says, when I looked at the creation, I says, the scientists don't realize it, but they have agreed with what the creation says. The atheists don't agree with it. They won't admit it, but they agree with what the law says." And I told her, I says, "I can't help it." I said, "It's real, young lady. It's real." I said, "Let me ask you." I said, "Why do you believe what you believe?" And she says, "Well," she said, "I've just been taught that way." I says, "That's a good starting place." Amen. That's a good starting place. As I look on and I seen these folk right here, and verse number 53, he says, they ask him, they said, "Whom makest thou thyself?" They'd already asked him that one time. They asked him in verse 25, "Who art thou?" But right here, excuse me, they said, "Who makest thou thyself?" And the Lord answered him again. In verse number 13, if you look down, they're still reaching out. They're still grabbing for things. In verse number 13 of the same chapter, they called him a liar. The Bible said, "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." Can I tell you, how bold, Brother David? How horrible could you think of somebody just accusing the Lord? I was preaching at the church one day. I said, "He only lived 33 and a half years. Don't you know somebody come along that way that remembered when he was born? There was somebody come along that way that remembered that issue about that little virgin girl having a baby." And you know, it's in the Bible. They brought that up. They've not forgotten how he came by. The Bible says, if you look at us right down there in verse number 41, the Bible said, the Lord speaking said, "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication." Can I tell you, they throw that thing back in his face. They didn't understand that thing about a virgin born son of God. They didn't understand that. It takes the Holy Ghost to understand that kind of stuff. It takes that measure of faith that God gave us, literally out there on a plate before us accepting that and the Holy Ghost developing that and letting that thing grow up. I'm telling you, Brother David, it's got to grow on the inside of us. And I'm telling you, before it's over, some little old girl, 15, 16 years old, come up and said, "Why, you believe what you believe? Well, you can just open your mouth and sing aloud and say, the Holy Ghost has persuaded it down in my soul. It's real. It's real this morning. They called him a Samaritan in verse number 48. They said, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? They called him a half-breed. That's what a Samaritan was. They said, you're just a half-breed. You're not a pure Jew. He said he came into his own received him not. Can I tell you this morning, they took up stones and they accused him. In verse number 48, then answered the Jews and say unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Can I say that they accused him of being demon possessed? In verse number 52, they said it again. They said, thou hast a devil. And verse 59, the Bible said, and they took up stones and cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. And so passed by. I'd like to say this morning, they hated him. The world still hates him. But I want you to know I love him this morning. Amen. Listen, the kids sing a song. It says, he ain't done me nothing but good. Amen. And that's all he's done for me. From whether the time I was this little snotty-nosed boy, up to the time that God saved my soul, up to the time that God called me to preach, up to the time that God gave me children, up to the time that God takes me down the highway, up to the time that God called me to pastor, I'm telling you, God ain't never been nothing but good to me. I got to look at this thing, I said, surely before God in heaven, there's somebody in the Word of God that would be able to testify the same things that I got, the same things that He's done, the same places that He's took me. And the Lord just spoke to my heart, Brother Todd. He said, if you'll just read on, I ain't through right here just yet. There's somebody that wants to say something good. I look down in chapter number 9, in verse number 1, and the Bible says, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest unto him, in him. I'd like to say this morning, as I look at this man, that was a patient man that was waiting on the Lord. It might be this morning that you've been waiting patiently asking God to do something in your life. It might be that you pastor a church. It might be that you're a great church member. It might be that you're a good deacon. It might be that you're a good pianist, just a musician in the church. It might be that you're a good cook and wanting God to do something in your life. But this morning, friend, I want you to know this, that if you'll wait on God, He'll come by where you at one day. He'll meet the needs of your heart. I'm talking about a blind man, didn't have no way to go. And when the Pharisees looked at him, they said, who sinned, this man or his parents? I'd like to say, his parents sure enough wasn't the ones that sinned. And the Lord says it's the work of God might be manifest. But I want you to know, friend, this parents instilled something in this boy. I don't know how long. I got all ideas according to Proverbs chapter 18 that from the time he was a youth, he taught him, he trained him, and told him about the Lord. But friend, this morning, if we'll look at this, we'll see a mama and a daddy that trained a son that said, we can't do nothing. We've taken to the doctors. We can't get your sight back. But if there's ever a man named Jesus will pass by your way, you'll find out. He'll open your eyes. He'll illuminate your mind. He'll help your life. He'll help your heart. I'm telling you, Christ will make a difference if you let Him. He'll make a difference. He'll make a difference. I got to thinking, look at this blind man right here. I thought, whoa, Jesus passed by. And that blind man, the Bible says he's there. He ain't even cried out. He ain't even like them other blind people. He's just there. And he's sitting there, and the disciples recognize him. And the disciples is looking at him, and they said, well, somebody's lived wicked. Ain't that the way the world looks at me and you? Hey, Pastor, ain't that the way the world looks at me and you? troubles and trials come in your life, in your home. Children will get sick, you run them down there to the hospital. Wife gets sick, you get sick. Car breaks down. Amen. Washing machine breaks. Roof starts leaking. Family troubles come. It might not happen, I guess, in North Georgia. But in South Georgia, it's a regular thing, ain't it, Buddy Joe? Amen. I'm telling you, friend, I'm just talking about as soon as something happens to you, they're going to be some old disgruntled church member going to sit back there and say, well, I knew they was paying him too much all along. God's getting it back. God's getting it back now. That's what's happening. God's getting it back. The disciples asked him, said, Master, who did sin? I'd like to say, you know, a lot of times we worry about the ones that sin instead of that one that's a sinner. We're not worrying about them as dying and going to hell as much as we worry about them as doing wrong so we can expose it. I found out, I got me some real help here about several years ago. Somebody asked me the other night, one of the men in the church walked in the office and said, Preacher, you said 13 years ago God done something for you. I'd like to know what it is. I said, well, I'll tell you, Brother Mickey, it was real simple. I said, I used to hang around with the crowd. I'm telling you, listen, I tried this. It was impressive as a young preacher. I thought it was big. I thought it was tough. I thought it was just something that the whole world would love and be excited about, just to be able to stand behind a sacred desk and open up a book, pull out a set of shears in both hands, and go just to burning sheep up one side and down the other. But can I tell you, that don't win souls. Can I tell you, that don't help nobody. Most of the time and the hour we live in, friend, I'm here to tell you, when people walk into the house of God, they're already bleeding, they're already hurting, they're already wounded. It was all they could do to grab their own self by the back of the collar, Brother John, and come into the house of God. If it wasn't them pulling their own self, they begged some neighbor, they begged some friend, Brother David, they asked somebody to help them. What about it down there at your church? Can y'all help somebody down there? What about down at y'all's church? Do y'all help folk down there? What about there over there at Wahoo? Do y'all help people that's hurting down there? But I'm telling you, down there where we live, we got a lot of churches, and not many of them wants to help. If a harlot walks in, everybody turns their nose. If the drunk walks in, everybody turns their nose. But I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more harlots at heart. There's a whole lot more drunks at heart than what anybody knows. I'd just like to say this morning, whenever the sinners come by, we ought not worry about what of them or their parents has sinned, and just get them to Jesus. Just tell them that He loves them. Just tell them that He'll save them. Just tell them that He'll change them. Just tell them that He'll help them. In the name of the Lord, He'll do it where we can't. I don't understand it, but I do understand one thing good. I understand that if you preach Jesus, if you preach the death, burial, and resurrection, if you'll preach the gospel, you'll not preach a false doctrine. You'll not be accursed. Little old boy got saved Sunday morning at church. And I don't know if you've talked to Brad or not. Little boy got saved, little six-year-old boy, I believe Hayden's 6 years old. I believe. And had two 16-year-old girls and a 23, I believe, she, woman got saved. Little six-year-old boy. Little old six-year-old boy. He says, I want to get saved. And I said, you understand what we're talking about, son? And boy, he'd been interested for a while. So I called his daddy up. I called his daddy up there. I said, I want you to deal with this boy right here and just see what he says. And I turned around and I looked at some of them folk in there. There's a man sitting in the back, looked across the top of his glasses like he got a whole lot of doubt. I said, I have seen apples that wasn't but about that big around. They was ripe. I said, I have seen some that was like that, still green. And that little old boy coming at me later on, I said, son, what happened to you? He said, I asked the Lord to save me. Now, you might want to argue with that kind of stuff. I don't know what to say to it, except good. I ain't going to argue with it, Brother John. I ain't going to argue with it. I don't know how the Holy Ghost works. I can't explain this thing about an imputed righteousness. I can't put it down on paper and make nobody understand it. I can't draw pictures. Amen. If I draw a stick man, you'd say that was horrible. I can't make it where we can understand it. All we can do is read it, get it out of this book, and find out on the day that I bowed my heart before God and confessed I was a sinner, that He came on the inside, cleaned everything up, started wiping the slate clean again. Hey man, I'm just talking about not understanding the work of grace. I'd like to say this morning though, that ever since that little boy got saved, the battle's been on in that mama's heart. That mama got saved 1 year ago. She came to our church, Brother Mark, she came to our church, and an unusual situation. I give the invitation, and she's sitting there, and she'd been going to a big Baptist church across town. And I don't know why, you know, you just ask crazy things sometimes that don't even make sense. People say, why do you say that? And I just happened to walk by and I looked down and boy, she's sitting there, she's got tears. I said, I just wonder if there's anybody in here this morning that believes you saved because somebody told you you was. And she looked square at me, Brother David. I said, if so, raise your hand. And she raised her hand and boy, they went to pouring. I said, you think you're going to heaven because somebody told you you were. I said, and she nodded, yeah. I said, you ain't going to heaven. Boy, she did go to crying then. And she got saved. Kristen led her to the Lord, took her and led her to the Lord. And ever since then, her folks has been on her back. Ever since then, she's fought a battle. You hear me? I mean, that family, her mom and daddy, her daddy's been on her back ever since. Accused her. You've been in our church. You've been in our church. You've been in our church. Accused her that she is in some kind of a cultish situation. I mean, I almost stepped on my phone last night because it won't let me just send text messages like I want to. You get four lines and you got to start afresh. Amen. I hate that thing. But can I tell you, that ain't no cult down there where we at. God's a saving sinners down there, Brother Mark. I mean, the Lord Jesus has moved in, Brother Glass. God's turned things around. 13 years later, I don't care what folk doing across town over there. They pastoring and doing what they want to do. If that's helping them, God bless them. Amen. Amen. If somebody's getting saved, I'm proud for them. I know the Bible said, blessed is the man that hunger and thirsteth after righteousness, he shall be filled. Brother David, we set chairs out Sunday morning and they packed 260 people in the house of God. I'm talking about a long ways from 45 when I started out. I'm talking about doing something that only the Holy Ghost can do. Amen. I'm saying it don't matter who's sinned, the little boy or the little girl or the mama or the daddy. If Jesus will come by, He'll change everything. Amen. He'll make you smile in the midnight hour. He'll make you shout while the battle's going on. I'm telling you, Christ can change it all. He'll change it all. He'll change it all. Maybe this morning you might be going through some storms. And you might be worried about what everybody thinks. It'd be probably real good if you just go ahead and go get you a legal document. Print it off the computer. You know, like most folk does their doctorate degree. Amen. Amen. Somebody asked me, said, they trying to get me to get one? I said, man, I don't even make a good nurse. I don't change baby diapers. Not yet. Not yet. Once they leave me alone, I may be in a dilemma. They leave me alone with one of them, you know. Call and see how long they're going to be gone and work with that. Get you a legal document. A written degree of divorcement. And divorce yourself from public opinion. And not give a rip what nobody in this world thinks about you. You see, me and you use the same boat. We're sitting by the wayside. We're blind. We had nothing and we had no hope. I guarantee you, as a 13-year-old boy, I'd been to church most of my life, from Pentecostal to Baptist, taken, delivered, rode the bus, however I got there. 13-year-old boy, I rode to church with a preacher, Fernandina Beach, Florida. For the first time in my life, the Holy Ghost pointed me out. Scared me so bad I didn't know what to do. You said, did you get saved? No. I run. And I went home. My prayer was, God, help me get out of here. Scared me to death. But all I heard after that was, He loves you. He loves you. I got to thinking about this man, this woman, loving this boy and teaching him right. I got to thinking about Elijah. If there's ever somebody that was trained up right, it was Elijah, Brother John. The name Elijah means Jehovah is God. And there was a time when Elijah was born that, I mean, there wasn't nothing going on. There wasn't no independent Baptist church around the corner. Brother Buster told us this morning, a 60-mile radius of where he lives at, there's 400 independent Baptist churches. 400. There's two in our town. And they ain't like us. They scared to shout. Listen, we got folks left our church because we're shouting. I said, God bless you. They dead over there. Go on if you want to. So why would they do such a thing? Because they didn't come to the preacher and ask about, should I marry her? He knew what I'd tell him. I said, well, you didn't ask me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It ain't going to work. He said, well, I'm going to try it. I said, you'll be out of church. That's what I told him. And he's out of church. Can I tell you this here? Elijah's mom and daddy trained up a child. Say, how do you know? Think about this. When Elijah was a little boy, Elijah comes up. The number one religion, if you will, the most popular belief during that time, Brother David, is Baal worship. And every time somebody said Elijah, they said, Jehovah is God. Every time somebody said, who's Elijah? And Elijah's minding his business, and Ahaziah falls through the lattice, and he sends them over there to Elkhorn to find out from Beelzebub if he'll die or not. And the Holy Ghost said, Elijah! Go tell him he ain't gonna live. And he got over there, and when he sent the message back, they said, who was it? They said, we don't know. They said, what he looked like? He said, he was a hairy man. And he's wearing a leather girdle. Said, it's Elijah. He just sent him to find out from Beelzebub. But because Elijah's mom and daddy said, we want a name that'll stand out different. They didn't hear from Beelzebub. They heard from Jehovah is God. They heard. You know what this world needs? I'm going to tell you. They need to hear that God's real. Little old girl comes Sunday morning. She got saved Sunday morning. And she was there Wednesday night. And I said, I sure appreciate you coming, young lady. She says, I like it here. She said, I like the way y'all sing. Amen. Amen. I like it. You need to come on down. It's been a while since you've been down there, ain't it, Brother John? I know you come to Fernandina on vacation, but you need to come by St. Mary's. People tells on him. She said, I'm Catholic. I said, praise God. I know. A lot of people say, oh, I would never shout for something like that. That's why they don't want to come back to where you're at. I ain't talking about compromising. I'm talking about just letting them come in and hear the truth without shearing them, without gutting them. Just let them see, what's going on? What's all these other young folk doing? They's worshiping. I've listened to all this stuff. Brother David, you know I'm telling it right. I've been there. I've done it. It ain't impressing nobody. It's keeping people out of heaven, Brother Glass. Step back on the back row. There's a girl sitting back here about where Corey's at. Lady brought her to church. She was Catholic. Lady brought her to church. She was Catholic. Got saved. She worked with her. She brought her to church. Sunday morning, she begged her to come. She begged her to come. This girl's so bashful, she had to beg her to come. She come, and I walked back there, and I looked, and that girl started crying during the song service that morning. And Ashley wouldn't look at me. You know what I'm talking about, Tracy's wife? I said, Ashley. And she looked up, and I said, that means help her. Sign language. We got sign language down there. And she went over there and she says, remember what it was like that night you were in at church? She looked up at me, she said, Brother Edward, she ain't ready. I said, oh yes, she is. I know she's ready. Man of God knows you ready. You know when somebody's ready in your church. I said, yes, she is too. I went back up there and I said, hand my Bible. I walked back over where she's at. You see, we've scared them to death. All we got to do is just get them to Jesus. I said, Chelsea, I said, if you was to die, she's standing there crying. I said, if you was to die right now, you know where you'd go? She said, yes, sir. I didn't ask her to come forward. That'd go against a lot of them. A lot of them said, bless God, I don't care. I don't care. If they don't want to walk now, they can go to hell. That's wicked as the devil, friend. They helped me, Brother John. They helped me. I said, Chelsea, if you could bow your head right here, if you didn't have to move, and you could bow your head right here and ask Christ to save you and come into your heart, would you like to do it? And when I said that, boy, I mean the tears just went to pouring. She said, yeah. Some folk just bashful, Brother John. That boy never hollered out. He never cried out. But Jesus came by where he was. And Mom and Daddy told him about him. I said, let's do it. Boy, she stood there and cried, prayed, and asked the Lord to save her. And God made it easy for her. The world hates him. We're living in a different hour. People will spend money training dogs and training animals, but they'll not train up their children in the way they should go. I say if we'll take a little time and train them up right, train young preachers, train young men just to love sinners. Not try to impress nobody, just love sinners. God will do the work. Because Jesus is already available. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Girls, y'all coming up.